light. You were once not a people, but now you're the people of God. Isn't God amazing? Aren't we in an amazing position? Christians. God's amazing. I tell you, I can't get over it. I have to pinch myself every morning when I get up. I have to pinch myself to get up. Not quite sure what this is. Let me read something from the Word of God. And if I put my specs on and I know where they are, Margaret, we'll be fine. We got an amazing God. Listen to this. Just listen to this. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. And then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto all the earth. He came and he took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on earth." And then I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we just thank and bless and praise you. We see, as it were, a Lamb upon the throne. How we want to thank you, how we want to worship you, how we want to praise you this morning. Our God, our Redeemer, our Savior, what an amazing God you are. How we thank you, our Father, our God. We come to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that one who came, that one who loves us, that one who redeemed us, that one who died and rose again and ascended and is seated in glory at your right hand, enthroned with majesty on high. How we bless you and how we thank you that we can be found and we are complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for all your loving kindness. You crown us with love. You shower your grace upon us day by day. You meet our every need. You strengthen us. You uplift us. You uphold us. You fill us with your Spirit. You guide us. You protect us. You're like a shepherd to us. What an amazing Savior you are. How we thank you and how we want to worship you this morning, our God and our Savior. And oh Lord, how we thank you, Lord, that you have drawn unto yourself a people. You have gathered together your church. And oh Lord, how we pray today you would meet with your people. Where they meet in great gatherings, where they meet in perhaps in just small rooms. Lord, would you be with her? Lord, would you strengthen her? Lord, would you draw close to those who are perhaps are mourning, those who are persecuted, those who are feeling weak, those who are feeling discouraged. Lord, would you uplift her? Would you strengthen her? Would you fill her with all the fullness of your Spirit today, Lord, that she's able to meet, Lord, the need of this world in which you have put us, Lord, and placed us. Oh, Lord, we do pray for those that are poor and needy. Lord, you would meet their need. We pray, Lord, for those, Lord, who are feeling downtrodden, who don't have a voice. Lord, would you be their defender today, Lord? Would you feed the poor? Would you help those who are down? Oh, Lord, would you comfort those who are in need of comfort today, Lord, we pray. And, oh, Lord, we pray as we gather together, Lord, you would open the eyes of our understanding that we might see you better, we might follow you more closely. Lord, that we might be filled with all the fullness of your Spirit, that we might know with all the saints the height and the depth and the breadth and the length of your great love for us. Yeah. Lord, and that you would work through us to meet the need of this community, to take forth a glorious gospel of good news, come unto me. And so, Lord, we look to you today to meet our every need. Oh, Lord, just come amongst us. May we be able to say with the Apostle Paul that we want to know you more, yeah, and the power of your resurrection, and, Lord, share in the fellowship of your sufferings. Mm. Lord, be with any in this fellowship who are feeling down. Yeah. Uplift them. Mm. May they feel your presence, Lord, to just cheer their way. How we say, who can cheer the heart like Jesus? Mm. By his presence, Holy Divine, Lord, be with them. Be with any who are feeling pains of age, Lord, and feeling not well and feeling it difficult. Lord, be with them. Strengthen them. Touch them. May they feel a touch from yourself today, Lord. Yeah. We do pray for Margaret, Lord, and it's a difficult time, but, oh, Lord, that you'll be with her and continue to cheer her, continue to strengthen her, continue to put a song on her lips, even praise unto her God. And, oh, Lord, be with David. Yeah. Draw close to him. Be with him. Fill him with a peace, Lord, that this world cannot give. Mm. And, oh, Lord, how we rejoice to know, Lord, that he knows you. Mm. And one day we shall all meet in that sweet by and by. Yeah. Lord, because we trust you. You said you're coming again. You've gone to prepare a place for us. If it were not so, you would have told us.
Yeah.
And, Lord, we know and trust you well enough to know that you would have told us. And so we have every confidence. We have every hope for Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so, Lord, we just thank you and bless you again for another day, for another opportunity to praise you, to worship you, and to be able to tell out your praises. We thank and praise you, Lord. You have called us from darkness into your glorious light. And, Lord, you do equip us. And you do just move us, Lord. We long to, we want to, because we love you, to declare the praises of him who has called us out of darkness, all into that marvelous light. Yeah. And so we thank you. We praise you, Lord. We want to glorify you, Lord, in this gathering, and in our lives, and in our homes, and in our community, and in this world, Lord. So, Lord, empower us, Lord, by your Spirit, to do every good work that is pleasing and glorifying unto you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Right, and let's have a sing, morning, can we? And here we go. Look. Praise to the Lord. Almighty, Molly. And Molly, led by the Spirit, is going to let us know and support, let us know the needs of prayer for this village story, if you would please.
In the wrong button as usual. Never mind, I'll learn one day. Nice to see Andrew back with us. You still got a bit of a cough there, don't you?
Thank
you. Feeling better than yourself?
I feel fine, thank you.
horrible, those cults. They go on and on, don't they? You know, I was watching the marathon this morning. I don't watch much television. I very rarely put it on a Sunday morning, but I do quite, I admire the people who run the marathon and those wheelchair ones and the disabled. And I think it's pretty wonderful. You know, there's so many lovely people around, aren't there, doing good works and everything else that goes with it, and all that money raised for these people. And it just made me sit on my settee and think, how many of them know the Lord? Obviously some do, they must do. But, you know, it's good works don't get us to heaven, does it? You know, we can be as good as we like and everything else. We've got to have the Lord in our hearts. We've got to accept the Lord, which is He is our Saviour.
Isn't God great? And the sun was shining and the blossom was out and it makes you feel good. I thought that those words from the Song of Solomon, for Lola, my love comes skipping over the mountains, skipping over the hills like a young deer, like a roe. And God comes over. Sometimes life can seem like it's crowding us in, mountains are surrounding us, but He skips over them like a young doe and a young hart. And He says, come away, my love. He looks over the wall. Sometimes we've got a big wall around us and we're trying to hide behind it. And He says, and He looks in through the teeth and He looks right into our hearts and He says, come away. Come away, my love, for lo, the winter is past. The time of the singing of doves is heard in our land. Come away, my love. And it makes you feel good, doesn't it? Springtime. And I hope we all hear that voice. Come away, my love. For lo, the winter is past. Mm-hmm. Whatever has been the coldness, whatever has been the darkness, you know, and those aches and pains, not necessarily physically, but of life and of the cold. And we feel the warmth of His love. And He says, come away. We hear that still small voice. Come away, my love. For lo, the winter is past. The time of the singing of birds has come. Isn't God amazing? Yeah. He's that amazing. We're going to sing again. we're going to have another sing, but Bonnie, when you're ready?
Yes.
Yes, we'll give it a go.
Spirit of the living God, Molly.
Thank you, Molly. And Lord, we do make that our prayer.
Yeah.
That Your Spirit might fall afresh on me. It might fall afresh on us.
Yeah.
Lord. And Lord, give us that grace when You break us. Lord, when You melt us and You melt the hardness at times of our hearts, Lord. But, oh Lord, that You might fill us. Lord, that You might use us for greater things in Your kingdom.
Yeah.
In Christ's name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. let me tell you what's been happening on the streets with me and Michelle. Apart from having a coffee from time to time. God, in God great. You know, it's all God. Certainly none of us. It's none of me. Not of us. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. You know, it's been great. It's just amazing. God just amazing. But even just in these last few weeks, we went out to Bristol just before Easter, and that warm weather, that nice weather was starting to sort of get down there. Folks are out and about in the sunshine. And we drove down there, we park in the park and ride, and it's right by the motorway. We get the park and the bus in, and which is good, because I've got a bus pass these days, so it don't cost me anything, and which is great. And we get the bus in, and we always get off at the same place in town, and we walk up around there's a park area. Some of you know Bristol, I think it's Castle Hill, there's the ruins of an old church that was bombed during the war, and it's on a hill right by the docks. We go around there, and there's always lots of people there, and then we go down past the SS Great Britain, right down for about a mile and a half, and we cross over a bridge, and we come back up the other side. It takes about 6 hours, and we stop it, and we're giving out Bibles, and we're praying with people. And God's amazing. So we were on the bus and we're going, and Michelle turns to me and she said, "For For some reason, I feel we should get off at the stop before and go to the cathedral. And so I said, all right then, if that's what you feel, we'll get off at the stop before. So we got off at the stop before, and the cathedral's like up on a hill, and there's all these steps that go up to the cathedral. And so we're making our way up these steps, and there's another couple walking in front of us, and very quickly we catch them up, and I'm still on the same step as her. And she pauses for a minute, and I sort of turns to her, and I goes, I said, these steps weren't made for old folks like us. And she laughed and said, well, speak for yourself. Then she smiled, and I said, well, Christians, we follow Jesus. Can we pray for you? And then Michelle said to her, is there anything in specific that you would have us pray for? And straight away, she said, yes, she said there is. She said, it's 5 years ago today. It's the anniversary when our grandson was killed. He was only 16. And she says, not a day goes by that it doesn't consume all our family. And it just consumes us all. And she said, every year, me and my husband, we just come and we sit in the cathedral. We're not religious people. We're not Christians or anything like that, she said. We just sit in the cathedral. And we find it helps us. And so Michelle began to pray for her, and to pray for peace for her, and the tears were rolling. Bless her, this elderly lady falling down her face. And then Michelle finished praying for her. I said to her, I said, have you got a Bible? Show her. She said, I've got a big old Bible somewhere in the house knocking around, but I haven't read it in years. And so I said, I've got those Bibles, Joe, yeah, in the rucksack. So I've got one of these Bibles. I said, would you read it? Would you promise to read it if I give you one? And she said, yeah, I promise that I'll read it. And so we gave her a Bible, and she smiles and gives me a big hug. And I thought, how wonderful. Mm. Do you know what I mean? These people that hurt, but the Lord knows. And we carried on, we walked at the front of her, and we went into the cathedral. And we prayed for three or four more people. It was amazing in the cathedral. Then we went there's a cafe there in the cathedral at Bristol. We went in there because there's some toilets there. And when we're out 6 hours on the street praying, you need to make use of toilets when you come across them. And so we went out a cup of tea, and there's a lady on the table next to us in this cafe there in the cathedral. She was sat on the same side as what Michelle was, so I thought, yeah, Michelle, I'll pray for her in a minute. And sure enough, Michelle turned to her and said, oh, we're Christians, we follow Jesus. It's always good to say something like that, because it distinguishes you. You're not Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, we're not Mormons, you know, we're not, you know, Muhammad followers, but followers of Jesus. Mm. And so it's good to just to let people know, because a lot of people, if they never go to church, they band it all together. It's all—it's just religion. It's all the same to them. And so she said that, and this woman said, "Well, yeah, if you want." So Michelle again said, "Anything in particular?" She said, "Yes." She said, "My husband died recently. We've been married for 55 years." She said, "I'm finding it really difficult, and it's a real struggle." Bless her. And Michelle was able to pray with this lady, and it was wonderful. So anyway, there's a reason I say this, it'll become apparent. It'll be apparent. And so we left the cathedral and we made our way. We had to walk then to the park where we normally start to pray for people. And we met a few more on the way down. We prayed for some homeless couple sat in the doorway, I think. And we finally got down to the park. And so we arrived at the park about an hour later than we would normally have arrived there. We would have, by that time, we've gone through the park and we've been making our way down along, perhaps towards the SS Great Britain, down that way. But we were an hour later because Michelle felt we should go in the cathedral. So we walked across the road into this park. It was a glorious day, loads and loads of people milling around, and the trees were all in blossom. And we noticed, it was probably about 100 meters, this young woman, she came out of this office block on the other side of the road to the park, and she walked across, and she walked into the park. It was as though we were just looking at her. Yeah, there's people everywhere. And she sat under this tree, and she leaned back against the trunk of this tree, and her head was bowed. And then I said, I think we ought to go and pray for this lady. So we walked up, and I just let Michelle take the lead in it. Michelle and said, oh, we're Christians. And she said, we saw you come across, and we really felt we should come and pray with you. And that right then, she just burst into tears, this young woman. And the tears were rolling down her face, and she's going, yeah, please. And so Michelle began to pray for her. And I can't remember exactly what we prayed for that many people. I can't remember exactly what Michelle prayed, but I know that the hope of it was peace and strength to face the future. Seemed to be the overall theme of what Michelle was praying. And so Michelle finished praying for her, and then she said, I work in those offices over there. I rent a space in there, I've got a business. She said, 10 minutes ago, I had a phone call to say my nan had died, and she helped to bring me up. Mm. And she said, I just had to get out of the workplace, and I felt I ought to come over and just sit in the park, bless her. And so Michelle said, do you go to any church? She said, no. She said, there's a church at the bottom of my street. She said, I sometimes feel tempted to go there, but I've never been there. And I said, well, perhaps you should go there. And I said, have you got a Bible? She said, no, I haven't got a Bible. And so I was able to give her one. I took the Bible out, and as I took the Bible out, the Lord just put on my heart a story. It's at the end of John chapter 1, where Jesus is calling his disciples, and he calls Philip, and Philip goes, and he finds Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael, he says, we found the Messiah, come and see him. And so they go to find where Jesus is. And as they begin to walk towards Jesus, Jesus looks at Nathanael, and he says, a Jew in whom there is no guile. And then Nathanael says, well, how did you know that? But it was this what had made me think of it. And Jesus says to Nathanael, he says, before Philip came to you, when you were sat under the tree, I saw you. Come and follow me. And as I said, she burst out crying again at her. And I said, when you sat under this tree, Jesus saw you. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants to be with you. He wants to strengthen you and be with you in the days that lie ahead. He wants you to follow him. And through her tears, she was going, yes, I will. I will. Isn't God amazing? But you know the amazing thing? I told you about the cathedral because, you see, we would have been there an hour early. We never would have met her.
Yeah.
Do you know, the world would say it's just a coincidence. But you know, as we were driving down there, me and Michelle, we were praying that the Lord would give us those divine appointments. Those appointments with people that he really wanted to touch and wanted to come into their lives and to heal. And me and Michelle believe it was a divine appointment, a divine coincidence, if you like, that we met her. You know, in that park, right over in one of the corners, there's this group of young lads, probably 18 or 19 they are. And they seem sort of segregated from the rest of the people in the park. And they're all black guys. Sometimes there's a couple of black ladies with them. And they gather, they're only young, they've left school, but they've got no work, and they gather there, and there's a strong whiff of marijuana in the air, but that doesn't bother me. and you know, about 2 months ago, I first saw them there, and we were praying for people. I just felt it like, I said to Michelle, we're praying for all these people, but we're not going to leave them out. Mm-hmm. I just went on the sinners praying for some people close. And I walked over to him, I said, you know, we're going around praying for people, guys, but I'm not going to leave you out. I'm going to pray for you. And they said, okay. And they gathered around and they let me pray for them. And so every time we go there, they see us a long way off and they start waving. And they're ready for us. And when we go over, they gather around and they're going, pray for us, bruv, pray for us. And so I pray for them. And you know, two of them who seem really more wanting to know that the others, we gave Bibles to them. And you know, they do read them. Mm-hmm. They'll say that the one said to me just the other week, he said, oh, that, Wasn't it great as I was reading about Jesus and how he touched that man, Brian Bartow, so I said, pump out a mail. He said, yeah, yeah, wasn't it great? I said, yeah. And so they're looking at the word, and we can only hope and pray that God would really, really touch their lives. You know, God, isn't God amazing? Mm. Isn't it such a privilege? You know, after that woman under the tree, I can tell you, we walked off. I'll tell you what, we sat down, Michelle was crying. She didn't feel an age, feel great, and any great. She felt so humbled that God should use her like that with this young woman that it made her cry. God is just so amazing, isn't it? So amazing. And I could tell you much more, but let's press on, let's press on. I've almost forgot where I was. I was somewhere in the middle of Bristol there for a minute. We've got another hymn to sing, have we, Molly?
Yeah.
We have, Molly. We've got another one of your lovely hymns to sing.
Sorry, I
still
can't get it.
What is it?
Oh, breath of life comes sweeping
through us.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be quite close faith and reality. Christians like us who are too afraid to go and worship in their place of worship. Or we're so lucky that we never
We are, and it's all right. Lord, we do just come before you as a fellowship.
Mm.
And as your people, and pray for those who are part of our body. Lord, we pray for those Christians in Sri Lanka. Lord, that you would be with them. They'd have that sweet communion. You pour your grace upon grace. And we do pray, Lord, that you would be with those who are mourning, those who are suffering, those who are feeling loss, those who are afraid, Lord, those who feel threatened. Lord, we don't understand at times, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, I think of those words you said to Paul. Lord, as you persecuted your church, why do you persecute me?
Mm.
We realize, Lord, how the world has still at times despises and rejects you. But, oh Lord, we pray you strengthen your people there in Sri Lanka. Pray you'll be with them. Pray you'll fill them with a peace. Pray you'll fill them with such a glorious hope. They will really feel and know that touch, Lord, the Christ in them, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And oh Lord, may it strengthen them, may it encourage them, may you bring about revival, Lord, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And may your grace sweep that land. May your spirit sweep that land and bring revival, Lord, and bring light. Where there's darkness, bring light, Lord. Where there's hatred, bring love, Lord, and bind your people together. Strengthen them, Lord, and equip them, Lord, and move in a mighty way, Lord, we pray. Bind the strong man, Lord, and set the captives free in that land. May revival sweep across that land, and may there be thousands upon thousands naming the name of Jesus, because that's the kind of God you are.
Yeah.
And so we bear them before you in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know, I was wondering what to say. That's not this morning, it's unusual for me. And that's why I never have any notes. I never know what I'm going to say until the last minute. And but I woke up in the night, which is unusual for me when I'm speaking. If anything, I usually oversleep. I have to set the alarm clock to get myself up. But I woke up in the night and the Lord reminded me of something that happened just a few weeks ago. It was in the evening, I was at St. Andrew's. And this lady came up to me. I didn't know who she was, I hadn't met her before. And afterwards, Michelle said she's the wife of one of the leaders there. But I'd never met her before, I didn't know who she was. And she came up, she introduced herself, she said, my name's Tracy. She said, I've got a word for you from the Lord. And so I said, have you? Like that. And she said, yeah, I actually said, and I said, well, what is it then? She said, it's this. The Lord wanted to say, me to say to you, keep walking on the water. And she just smiled and walked away. And I woke up in the night and I thought about that. The Lord, I haven't thought about it since then, but the Lord brought it to my mind. And that's what we're going to look at. Keep walking on the water. Do you know, this Christian life is a life of walking on water. I don't not suggesting we all go down there to the Avon and start some river walking this afternoon. We might get wet. But you know, it's a life of faith. It's a life of stepping out onto the water with Jesus. You know, this Christian life and this Christian faith, it doesn't so easily fit into the world's pigeonholes of rational and of practical and of common sense. Yes, we might need all those things, but first and foremost, it's a life of faith. It's a life of stepping out onto the water. You know, as they walk around that city of Jericho with 10-foot thick walls, blowing a few old ram's horns and making a bit of a row, there was no there was no rationale in that. But those walls came crashing down when Elijah cried for fire from heaven to come and consume the altar. There was no logic in that. But it came down and it consumed the offering. This life is a miraculous life. It's a life of walking in the supernatural. It's a life of walking by faith and not by sight. It's a life of stepping out onto the water, walking with Jesus. That's what this Christian life is. We're not of this world, but we're in it. And so let's just quickly look at that. Where's my glasses, Marla? To look after me. Right, so we're going to look in Matthew's Gospel. I'll read that scripture. Matthew in chapter 14 and verse 22. And in my Bible it said it, Jesus walks on the water, but it could also say Jesus walks on the water and so does Peter. We always say Peter began to sink, but I tell you, Peter walked on the water. And we'll think about that in a moment. Jesus walks on the water. Matthew 14 and verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Jesus had just been feeding the 5,000. And after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. He'd not long since heard the news that the Baptist, his cousin, had been beheaded. And so and that's the first time he got to be alone and to pray. And he wanted perhaps to get alone with the Father and pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. And during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Amen. Those disciples and Peter, they'd seen Jesus heal a blind man. They'd seen Jesus heal a leprous man. They'd even been there and witnessed as Jesus raised that young daughter, Jairus' daughter, back to life. They'd been there, they'd witnessed it, they'd seen it. But you know, they'd never seen Jesus walk on the water. They'd never seen that before. It was something new. Jesus had appeared in many ways, but they'd never seen Jesus come to them walking on the water. It was new to their experience. It was new to their thinking and new to their mind, and they weren't sure what to make of it. They were fearful. They doubted. They weren't sure. Is it true? Is it false? Maybe it's a ghost. We're not sure. What's going on? You know, sometimes we can And I say to myself, we can pull up that drawbridge and we think we've got it all. We've got it all. I don't need any more. I've got enough experience of Jesus. I don't want any more. I'm quite happy, thank you very much. I don't need a new experience of Jesus. But we know that. And we're afraid of something new. We're afraid of something new happening. We're afraid of Jesus turning up in a situation that we're not used to and saying something that we're not used to. And something new. Do you know, for years and years and years, and years, I used to always doubt those people who were slain in the spirit and went down. I used to think, yeah, it's just the crowd and the meeting that's whipping them up and the emotion and it's making them fall down. Or I used to think, it's the preacher. You know, he's going along and touching their head, but really he's going, you know, and they're going down. And they want to go down, so they think it looks good. Aren't I great? I've just gone down in the spirit. And that's how I used to think. Until it happened to me. And I couldn't get up and I couldn't move. You know, it's happened several times recently to me and Michelle. The last time, only about 5 weeks ago, and there was no preacher to push us down and there was no meeting to whip us up. It was in the cold light of day. We were going to Bristol and we were walking around, and there's an area as we walk around where I was telling you. It's about a quarter of a mile. It goes from the SS Great Britain down by that museum. And we pray for people everywhere, but somehow, in some way, there's just a blockage there. We just don't seem to be able to. We've noticed it after a few times going there. It's just so hard to pray for people there, as if something's blocking it. And so as we were going down in the car, we were praying, Lord, come upon us, and specifically in that area, to fill us with your spirit, to overflowing so that we can break through in that area. And so we were going around praying for people. We completely forgot that we prayed. Yes, and we're going around praying for people, and we come into that area, and I didn't give it a thought. And suddenly the ground, and I started, I don't drink, but I used to, I felt like I'd have 4 or 5 pints, and I'm going, I noticed Michelle's doing the same, and Michelle looks at me and she says, wow, there's a spirit is so strong, she said, I feel I'm going to go down. And she went back, and I managed to catch her, and we staggered, and there was 2 benches. I managed to get her over to the bench, and she laid out on the bench, and I sprawled on the other bench next to her. And we couldn't speak at all. We looked at each other from time to time and smiled, but we couldn't speak. And after about 10 minutes, I tried to get up, and I couldn't. I fell back down again. And we sat there for about half an hour. And then we managed to get up, and we felt a bit strange. Kind of a thing. I think we stood a little bit, but we were all right, and we set off again. And I tell you, in that stretch, we prayed for so many people, and it was amazing. We felt such a freedom as we prayed for people in that area. Do you know, when God touches, he touches us for a reason. Do you know, it's true, as some say, it's not how you go down, it's how you get back up and what you're going to do. And God does it for a reason. It's not just for our entertainment. Believe me, when we were sat there and couldn't talk, we didn't find it entertaining, anything but. We couldn't move and we wanted to move, but we couldn't. You know, we can sometimes just pull up the drawbridge, I've got it all, I don't need any more. We can be so skeptical of everything when somebody gives a word of, oh, it's not prophecy, they're just making that up. We can be so closed to everything. And how we need to be open to Jesus, what he wants to do in our lives. And Jesus came to them walking on the water. And Peter said, this seems to be the key. Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come to you. If it's you. And Jesus said, come. Do you know, if it's the Lord, we shouldn't be afraid. But how do we know? How do we know it's the Lord? I'll tell you one of the ways you can know it's the Lord. Do you know this book? Do you know this word? It's the Lord's word. Are you used to listening to what the Lord has to say? Do you know his voice? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Do you know that voice? Are you used to that voice? You know, if I hear a voice that says to me, Dennis, I think you should rob that bank and use the money to build that extension on the chapel. I think, well, no. That's not right. That's not the voice of the Lord. That's not your voice, Lord. But if the Lord says to me, Dennis, I want you to take those Bibles, I want you to give them to people, I want you to take the good news, I want you to go to people, I want you to tell them about my love. That's your voice, Lord. That's your voice. That's the voice of the Good Shepherd. If it's you, Lord, bid me come unto you. Come. Isn't that the word of Jesus? The Lord says, go and do. Jesus says, come unto me and I will. That's the great word of the gospel. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will, I will, I will, says Jesus. That's the word of Jesus. Is it you, Lord? Bid me come. Come on, Peter. Come on. And Peter begins to climb out of that boat. And I get everything inside him. All that he learned. All that he knew, all those years of fishermen, he must have seen people fall in and begin to sink. He might have fell in himself on several occasions and had to swim for his life. And all that he was taught and all that he learned is seeking to pull him back. Oh, it's not going to take your weight. How's that water going to take your weight? He's trying to pull him back. Do you know one of the key words that seems to be in Christian circles today is those hereditary strongholds. You hear a lot about strongholds. Stronghold this and stronghold that. I don't know what they mean. So things in the past, you see, we're all different. The culture we're brought up in. The background we're brought up in. The homes we're brought up in. The schools we go to. Do you know, I come from a mining village in Yorkshire and about in the 50s, and about 95% of the people there voted Labour. They couldn't have told you why they voted Labour. They just did vote Labour because their fathers before them voted Labour, and that's what we do. We vote Labour. They couldn't have told you why they vote. And you see, how we're brought up, the things that happen to us. You know, if you've had an abused childhood, if you've suffered things, if you've only had one parent, we're all different. Those things in our life can just hold us back. You know, we were in Stratford praying for people, me and Sharon, and we came across this young lady, and we said, can we pray for her? She said, and she began to tell us a story. Her parents had been Jehovah's Witnesses, and as a child, she'd been brought up with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And she said that she couldn't go on holidays, she couldn't go on trips with these other things, she couldn't celebrate Christmas with the other kids at school, and all these things, and she found it so oppressive, she just broke away from her family, she just broke away from it all, and she didn't want to know God, and she didn't want to know religion, and it just put her off it all. Is that things affect us in our lives? And we were able to pray with her. But I love those words of Paul in Romans. He says, don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but rather be transformed now by the renewing of your minds. By the renewing of your minds. I don't think about all those strongholds. I tell you what I do. I read this word. I pray a lot. I draw close to God. I keep my eyes on Jesus. And I keep renewing my mind. And I don't worry about those strongholds because the Lord takes care of those. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Get out of that boat, Peter, and look to Jesus. Don't think about all those things in the past. Don't think about all those strongholds. They're not strongholds anymore as you're looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We need to focus on Jesus. And Peter steps out of that boat and he walks on the water. He walked on the water. We forget that sometimes. He literally walked on water. It was a miracle. And he walked towards Jesus, and whatever happened, he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to perhaps see the waves and hear the waves, and he began to, think of it. It's not practical. This water won't hold me. I'm going to sink. And he begins to sink. But you know what? I think it's great that Peter began to sink. Do you know why? This book is full of amazing characters, men and women who did mighty and wonderful things. But I tell you what, God paints them with warts and all. They have failings. They make faults. They get it wrong. They begin to sink. They have doubts. They don't always get it right. James has it right. He tells, he said, Elijah was a man of like passions as he was just like you and me. He called down fire. He defeated the prophets of Baal. The next minute he's running from Jezebel and hiding in a cave. He was a man of like passions as we are. And Peter began to sink. We're not perfect yet. One day we will. We don't know, but one day then we shall know even as we're known. One day it'll all be clear. One day we'll never get it wrong. One day we'll never sin. But we're not there yet. But let's not make it as afraid to get out of the boat. Let's not ever make it so that we're afraid to try. Do you know what? When Jesus came to those disciples when he first met them, they were there, Peter, Andrew, sons of Zebedee, by their nets. So Jesus said, come follow me. And he said, straightway they left their nets and followed him. Peter didn't say, well, give us 3 or 4 more seasons fishing and we'll get some money behind us. And we'll sell the boat. It should make this much. We'll have a little bit of a nest egg. And we'll sell the nets and all the equipment. And that'll do, that'll tie us over and everything will be sorted. And we'll know it'll be perfect. No, he said, straightway they left their nets and they followed him and they took a chance and they took a risk. They didn't know what was going to happen. But they were willing to risk it. But sometimes we're so afraid to risk it that we won't get out of the boat. We won't chance it. We won't try it for Jesus. Do you know in that parable of the talents, it's a bit like that. There's those who have the talents and they invest it. But you know, whenever you make an investment, there's a risk. There's a risk when you make an investment, but they were willing to take a risk. For that one, he wanted to just keep it. He wanted to just guard it. He wanted to just protect it. And he wanted to bury it. And sometimes we're like that. We just want to keep that. We want to bury it. We don't want to invest it. We won't want any risk. We don't want to risk it for Jesus. Do you know, there are those who want to try and protect and keep God's word. We want to protect it. We want to keep it. We want to save it. Let me tell you, God's word can protect itself. God gives us his word. Why? That we might give it away. That's what he wants. We might give it away. That's what Jesus did with the good news. He gave it away. Some received it. Some rejected it. Eventually, he went to a cross. But he gave it away. That's what he wants us to do. You know what? You can only keep that which you're willing to give away. Think about that when you get home. You can only keep that which you're willing to give away. Let's be willing to give it away. Let's be willing to take a risk. It may go wrong. We may falter. We may get it wrong. Do you know, but to do nothing, to just try to keep the status quo, to keep what we have. Let's not be afraid to take a risk for Jesus. If we get it wrong, we get it wrong. Then we cry out, Lord, save us, and he does. Lord, strengthen me, and he does. Lord, help me, I'm weak, and he does. Lord, I got it wrong, but be there for me, and he is. But let's not be afraid to take a risk for Jesus. Jesus walked on the water. The Son of God walked on the water. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. But you know what I find just as amazing is that Jesus called Peter, called those disciples, called us to join him in that miracle on the water, to be a part of it with him. He doesn't want us just to be spectators, to read books about people who do great things, to hear messages and sermons about what's happening at some other part of the world, the great things. He says, come and join me in this miracle on the water. Be a part of it. That's what Jesus was trying to show those disciples. Wouldn't be long before he would go to be with the Father in glory, but he would send his Spirit. He would still be with them just as he'd been with them, for them to carry on that work. And Peter and John go up to the temple and by that gate, beautiful. They see a man who's lame and he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he walks. And by many signs and wonders, that early church was doing great and mighty things. They were carrying on. They were still on the water, walking with Jesus. That's what they were doing. That's what Jesus was trying to show them. Come on, you can be part of this miracle with me. I don't want you to just see me doing miracles. When I've gone to be with the Father, I want you to do those miracles. I want you to be there with me in partnership with me, doing those miracles, being as me in the world. Do you know, it's maybe in a slightly different context. It's when we've got to be in heaven. But Jesus says, where I am, there also shall my servant be. But that principle runs true. Where I am, there also will my servant be. Where is Jesus? Is he with the poor and the needy? Or join him there? Is he with those on the street who need to say, yeah, well, go and join him there? Is he with those who are hurting, those who are lonely, those who are sick, those who are oppressed? Is that where he is? Join him there, though. Where I am, there also will my servant be. Isn't it amazing that Jesus calls us to be in partnership with him? Come on, Peter, he says. I don't want you just to witness me walking on the water. I want you to join me walking on the water. I want you to be in this miracle with me, doing it. And Peter got out the boat and he walked on the water. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right, Molly, we'll sing our closing hymn. Give thanks for the offering, Jack, would you? Please.
Yes, certainly.